We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us this morning. Sheriff Chip Simmons is here in studio with me. Sheriff, welcome back. Always good to have you, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. We had over on Lillian Highway, this is last week, we had, I guess, an Uber driver got, I don't know if you'd call it a carjacking, got a gun pulled on him by, I don't know how you say this name, Kayshawn, maybe, McKinney. What do we know about this?
Well, that's pretty much what I recall. That happened, what, about a week or so ago?
Yeah, I think that's right, about a week ago. Shots were fired and... You know, do we have him in custody?
Yeah, I want to say we made an arrest in that case.
Okay.
I think that there was no other injuries.
Do you have very many complaints from either Uber riders or Uber drivers or Lyft or any of the other ride shares? Is that an issue for you guys at all very much?
I hardly ever hear of any situation with Uber drivers.
You know, I think
there are some complaints I read online, but there's nothing that we get reported as regarding criminal activity. I say nothing. Very little.
It's not notable.
Correct.
It's more notable. They become news stories. And I think a lot of times, that like a story about an incident takes place in Iowa and then another similar incident takes place in Maryland and then some other one takes place in, you know, Texas. And you're like, oh, my God, it's happening everywhere. No, it's three incidents in a country of 40 million people. Like,
well, yeah. And I get that for a lot of things. I'll be at a restaurant. So, man, I hear. These things are going on all over the place. Well, that's not here. That was in another place.
Right.
Oh, yeah, but what about this one? Well, that was in another state.
Exactly.
Oh, well, what's going on here? Well, I mean, there are some things locally, but you need to just be attention what's being reported.
And I find myself having that same view. I mean, you know, unfortunately, Walmart has been a site of a lot of incidents, you know? Well, there's a lot of Walmarts, a lot of people go there. Right. And also, every day there's an incident at some Walmart somewhere. There's also, you know, 99.99% of all the Walmarts and the people who went there had no incident. You know, but it's human perception is funny. And so I tend to think, well, I got to be sure I'm carrying when I go to the Walmart. And if I'm going, you know, to, you know, play kickball, then we don't need to carry. But it's just your brain processes these things so weirdly.
Yeah, we get that a lot with just crime stats whenever we reported them, you know, years past. And even this year, I mean, we're looking at over the last 3 years, like a 40% reduction in property and persons crimes, which is really great in Escambia County. But whenever I mention that to people, like, there's no way, because I hear about it more than I've ever heard about it.
Yeah.
Like, all I can tell you is the stats are what they are. And I can also tell you, having been in law enforcement for 40 years, that it's not worse it's ever been people think it is. It's much better. In fact, it's almost half of what it used to be in the 80s in the crack epidemic and that sort of thing. So it is what it is. I'm not saying, I mean, one's too many, right? One act of violence is too many acts of violence. But it's like you say, people hear about it, they read about it, and they personalize it.
They imagine it, right?
And it's like, oh, it must be something that also happens here.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that I think you're going to find a little bit scandalous, and maybe you'll disagree with me about this, but people are largely emotional and irrational, and they are fed emotional and irrational information, which exacerbates the problem. But then this is the part you'll really disagree with me about. You ready?
The scandalous part?
Yeah, this is the really scandalous part. I almost I'm ashamed to say it out loud on the air, but people are not that good at math.
Math?
Math. Yeah, they're not that good at understanding that their experience of something, especially their vicarious experience of a TV news report on a crime that happened in their community, bears zero relationship to whether over the 330,000 people we have in Escambia County are actually having more, less, or the same amount of crime, which is a math issue. The human brain doesn't do well at math. It does well at imagination and fear and emotion and irrationality. I'm joking, but the point is people are not well suited to understand what you're saying, which is that crime is actually a lot better. You're safer today than you were a year ago statistically.
Right, and the sheriff's office, speak just for my agency, is more capable than they've ever been. Response times are probably shorter than they've ever been. Our cars are better. Our GPS mapping's better. You know, our dispatchers are better to put
the real-time crime the right center is better.
Everything's better.
But there was a big shooting downtown. Yeah, one incident. You know, like, that's the
as
point.
Bad it's as
one,
it was,
it's
right.
One incident. Right.
I don't know if that's as scandalous as I had hoped.
No, the scandalous part is alleging that people are bad at math. No, people are terrible at math, and that's part of the problem. And understanding the significance of math and being able to talk yourself into the belief that, well, gosh, the numbers say this, but my experience says this. Well, your experience is biased. and not statistically reliable. That's the reason it's experience as opposed to the aggregated experience of all of these people that produces the numbers that you're quoting. We'll get back to the sheriff in just a second. PJ, I feel I'm in lecture mode today. I just miss teaching a lot. You know, it's been a while since I had a classroom, and I miss teaching a little bit, so apologize.
As long as you're upgrading my citizenship, I'm
no,
good.
No, you're fine. 86. Okay. You had detectives working a case where a 16-year-old shot early morning hours of July 10th over on, is it Deauville Way in Montclair? Is that how you say it?
Yes.
And?
That's how it was reported. It was reported that at 1:30 in the morning, a 16-year-old says that he was standing in his doorway.
Why is a 16-year-old standing in his doorway at 1:30 in the morning?
I don't know.
Okay.
But he claims he was standing in his doorway. A car sped by the front of his house and fired, and he ended up getting shot. Non-life-threatening injuries.
Thank goodness.
He's awake, alert, talking.
Good.
And recovering. But the crime scene itself, we found some shell casings in the driveway, and a speeding car.
As in, not ejected from the speeding car.
These are
shell casings that were like return fire or something.
Something took place in the area of the driveway,
Okay.
And not necessarily in the doorway or by a speeding car. But anyways, we're investigating it, and we're trying to see if we can connect it to some of the crimes.
So his version of events is, I don't know nothing. I was standing on the corner peeling my apple when this guy walks up and hurts me in his doorway, and there's evidence that maybe says that's not 100% the best, most believable story.
Yeah, we're working on accuracy right about now, and our investigators are trying to decide.
For the people who've listened to this, our interviews for a time, they know this is not surprising. But for the brand new person, you mean people lie to you about what happened surrounding guns and behavior and crimes?
I tell you that people lie to us all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who gets lied to more. Parents, teachers, preachers, who knows? But
girlfriends, boyfriends.
Girlfriends, boyfriends, yeah. The IRS.
Yeah, right. But there are a lot of people who lie.
A lot of people lie to law enforcement. That's
okay,
great.
All right.
A lot of people tell us the truth.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of people that lied to us.
And you have to approach every person with
a suspect.
Yeah.
Suspicious minds, if you will.
Well, and I mean, not to give somebody cover for the lying, but also it's true that people are not great at perception and recollection and recounting. And so even somebody who's trying to tell their version of the truth,
we certainly take that into account.
Yeah. I mean, they get things wrong.
Been involved in some sort of trauma and it's right after the fact, and they're trying to recollect exactly what took place. But there are times when it's like, there's no way that could happen. And then they stick to it or they change it just a little bit.
Yeah.
Our favorite, the one going around, is we were able to catch someone years back, and they had some drugs in their pants. And the response is, these aren't my pants. Well, you're wearing those pants. Yeah, these aren't mine. Borrowed someone else's pants. I take it.
This brings up a question for me. Do you teach people how to detect deception? Do you teach people, or is it just go out there and learn, kid? I assume you teach how to use a gun. You teach self-defense.
Right.
You teach a lot of de-escalation, conflict management kind of skills.
We go over that in the police academy. There's versions of that where we teach interview techniques.
Yeah.
And how to talk to people and what they look like when they're, are they closing their eyes, they're looking away, that sort of thing. Things that almost everyone knows.
Eye movements, okay, yeah.
And a lot of things that almost every parent knows.
Yeah.
When they talk to their kids. But I think a lot of it also deals with experience.
Mm-hmm.
We have some investigators, and it's been my experience throughout the years, is that we have some investigators that are great at interrogation.
Yeah.
We have some that are just, just the facts. I got four questions, and yes or no answer is all I need, and which one's more effective? Obviously, the one that can kind of get to the truth. And again, it's that thing where how much can you relate? How much can you talk to somebody? How much can you see through what they're the bull that they're trying to give you?
Yeah. The reason I ask is because I have a theory. My theory is that if you grow up with basically decent parents, you don't really learn how to detect lies very well. But if you grow up with really bad, wicked parents, and bad siblings, you learn from experience how to do those things. One of my problems, I was raised by basically good parents. I never had a lot of exposure to lies. And so, I know irrationality. I know errors in logic. But lying is something I've never been all that great at detecting. I mean, if the lie doesn't add up, that's one thing. But, a lot of lies add up. They're just false.
I will tell you that you're talking about, if you're not used to it, you don't know the best at it,
yeah.
Right? I know that one of the big things that we teach, I try to teach our new recruits, and this has been the way for years, is like domestic violence calls. We have recruits that have never experienced or never witnessed a domestic violence type call because they were not raised in that environment.
Right.
And then the first day they're on the street, they go to five of them.
Yeah.
And they're just, they're wide-eyed, and I cannot believe that parents talk to each other like that. Our kids are like that.
Right.
And it's something we have to say, hey, this is, unfortunately, this is what happens sometimes.
And the people who are more likely to call you are going to be more likely on that end of the spectrum, so to speak.
Right.
You know, because the ones who manage conflict well, get along, are kind to each other, don't typically need you to come to their house.
Yeah, and I guess the good part of that is the experience that comes with it from a law enforcement perspective. Then you don't tend to miss some things that you might if you were still brand new.
We also had an incident with a homeless man stabbing another one near the waterfront mission. Is that right?
That's correct. Right there around Crystals on Fairfield Drive, we responded to a cutting victim, and then we determined that a 66-year-old male had a couple of stab wounds to his chest, and we determined also that a 30-year-old Thomas Cortijo had attacked him near the waterfront mission, as you mentioned, and then we ended up finding him at a homeless encampment and charged him with the attempted homicide on Sunday.
Okay. We had they burglarized the air conditioning units at Brownsville AOG, is that right?
They took the air conditioning
units.
They took the whole unit. So we put a picture out on social media because a suspect caught on camera, I guess, not our cameras, but I guess the church had camera security footage themselves. And there's this guy on a three-wheeled bicycle. I don't know if you call them, because it's a big one. It's
a tricycle?
Really a tricycle, but it's a big one.
Okay. A grown-up tricycle.
Looked like powder blue or light blue in color. And he had a trailer on this three-wheeled bicycle, and he is loading an air conditioner onto the back of his trailer, pedaling off.
By himself?
By himself, apparently. I don't think they were huge. They weren't the main
sanctuary. Like personal size. Okay, gotcha.
Probably for one of the classrooms. And he ended up, and he came back and he did it two or three times, ended up catching them with three, stealing three of the.
The getaway vehicle was a tricycle.
Yes, yes.
And a trailer attached to the tricycle.
Well, we hadn't caught him yet.
Okay,
the thought here is that someone would recognize him.
Yeah.
Or this rather unique getaway vehicle that he's using. Or, you know, the combination of all or both those things and the trailer as well.
Okay. All right. Hey, last question I had for you is just it's something that had come up with regard to the downtown incident that took place on July 5th in the early morning. I had asked Mike Wood, you know Mike really well. You know, you were his boss for a while and you're good friends. But he had said I'd asked about ShotSpotter and basically said that it wouldn't much make a difference because of the whole scenario with all the cops and all that stuff. But I thought what he indicated was that ShotSpotter was still active. I had thought ShotSpotter, the contract had ended. I thought we had run out of money for it. And it had been kind of like it's good enough to use somebody else's money, not good enough to use our money for it somewhere in that vicinity. Is ShotSpotter still active in the county?
It is still active. It's one of those things where it's no longer supported. We stopped paying for it because we didn't get the appropriation. It was approved by the Congress, but the legislature. But the governor vetoed it, so we haven't had it since October. We haven't been paying for it since October. But I guess the microphones are still out there and it's still active. And to their credit, they haven't just flipped the switch. And I guess the thought there is, as long as they don't need the equipment, they'll let us continue.
I'm guessing that maybe they have some hope you'll come back or something like that. But how useful is it in the scheme of things? I mean, I thought it had been pretty useful, and I know that's the perception people have is that it's pretty useful. Are we missing a lot because we don't have that active service? Like, you tell me. I don't know.
I don't think we're missing very much, to be honest. The ShotSpotter stuff, when of all the ShotSpotter indications that we had, probably 1% was actually a shot fired in anger. That's just an estimate on my part. A lot of them are shots into the ground. No one was hit, so we don't know if it's a shot into the air in celebration or whatever. So most of them, the calls, I say 1%. 1% helped us where we got there and we were able to use ShotSpotter to find rounds. Probably 4 to 5% are shots fired in anger where someone have been shot at. So is it worth a couple hundred thousand dollars? I'd rather use that money for police cars or for, quite frankly, license plate readers or something like that, where we can actually use it to catch the bad guys.
You do get a lot of good, useful results that you can work on. Okay, all right. Yeah. That's why I asked. Chip Simmons, he's the Escambia County Sheriff, as always, sir. Thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you do, keeping us informed, indulging me in my speculations about the police training and effective lie detection. I appreciate
it. Yeah.
And what's that? And math. Yeah, obviously math. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.